have it firm in your heart who you are in Christ. And then from there it went to like learning how to walk in victory, learning to overcome things and be an asset to the lives of those around you. But you can't help those around you until you really believe it yourself. And so that's kind of the overall theme of the conference. So I'll just have you guys share. I don't know who wants to go first, but.
Do you want to go?
Okay. I'll go second.
Okay, I'm the master of bunny trails. Thank you. So I had to write it down, but before I say that, I did have a bracelet, but this morning I had to give my bracelet to a Wonder Woman of God that didn't get to go with us, and that's my beautiful niece, Nicole, who just turned 18 and graduated boot camp. And I want to say thank you for serving your country.
Yeah. Yeah.
My biggest takeaway on this conference was that women are absolutely amazing. We come in so many versions. We're different shapes, different sizes, different backgrounds. But we all face the same giant, and that is finding our identity. We are who God says we are. We are not identified by what we do or how well we do it. God is calling us to be the best version of ourselves. And Marian Johnson, who is the pastor of Living Stones in Indiana, has this way of making it look so simple and easy. If you don't know something, just ask God to show you. And if you can't do something, just ask God to help you. And if you don't understand something, just ask God to enlighten you. It's really, that's all that it is. And God's grace is sufficient, and he'll see us through.
It works. Amen.
Okay, I don't even know what even to say. The whole thing was very, just a huge blessing for me. I think my biggest takeaway were my action steps, that God wants my rest. It's not like a do something situation, like this, and this, because he's going to do it. He just needs me to obey and surrender. And for me, that's surrendering my rest to him, which was really important for me. And it's something that I struggle with and always know, but just to fully surrender, and his obedience is going to bring blessings and breakthrough and all those things that I'm like looking for and waiting for and excited for. It just takes my surrender to those things. That was my takeaway.
Okay. Try not to be long-winded. I can be long-winded. I'm preaching today. So first I want to say thank you to everyone here. This is the fourth women's conference since I've been here, but the first one I've been able to go to. It's been hard for me because I'm a very social person. I love encouragement, and it just has not worked out, and finances don't work out, and I have four kids and a wonderful husband who works 60 hours a week, and this time, he's not here. I want to say thank you to Dan, because he really pushed for me to go. He worked 70 hours a week the last few weeks, but I still didn't think I would be able to go, because he couldn't get off. I'm rambling. I told you I was going to not ramble. I'm showing you right now, like, first of all, it's just very important to me that God really wanted me to be there, and then the things he did were so specific. But until about 2 weeks before the conference, Dan still didn't have two of the days off, and nobody wants to take four kids of mine except Kim Castle, who was going to be with us, and a friend of mine who didn't have a home. And so I was like, and I told the group, I'm like, just pray. I'm not going to get excited about going, and I'm not going to be depressed about not going. And I think about a week and a half before the conference, I got a text from my friend saying, I can take your kids. Because they'd just gotten a home, and they had been homeless for several months. And it was such one that she was just willing. She's like, we now have a house. We'll be there a whole week, and we will take all three of your boys. And that was a huge blessing. And then Dan was able to get the other day off. And then also the garage sale, if you bought stuff or brought stuff, thank you, because that covered almost all our costs, which is a huge deal. So that being said, just the getting there was such a love letter from God to me. Amen. That I could, that he would do this for me and make it available for me. And I didn't even know why. So and then the week before, you're encouraged to pray, fast, to really prepare your heart. And I had literally 0 minutes. I was running kids around, doing stuff. I'm planning this huge camping trip with 10 girls, like crazy stuff. And I'm like, I just want to focus on God. And the night before, it was 7 o'clock. I'm finally packing. I dropped my last child off. And then I get an email about this camping trip. And I was like, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke every thought. I was like, I cannot do this. So we went on the trip. And it was a great car ride. And then we had this one day alone. And we go to the beach. And I'm not a beach person, first of all. That's not my idea of vacation, laying back on a beach and chilling. But I was like, I was probably the only one on the trip who was like, yay, a beach. I'm like, no. But I'm like, I'm going to take that time, and I'm just going to focus on God. And they all put up their chairs, and I just started walking down the line. I'm like, bye. And I just went as far as I could till there were no people. And I just sat there and had an hour. And Norma had given us these cards, and I hadn't opened mine yet. And I opened it, and I won't share the verse, but I, like, within 2 seconds was bawling, like, ugly, crying. I was like, because God just spoke, like, you need to do this first. And I'd had, and I'm not going to go into it, but, like, a sin pocket that had built up in some things. And it was heavy, and it was ugly, and it had been years since I dealt with something like that. I hadn't even thought about it. And I mean, like, ugly crying on this beach. It was so good nobody was there, and there was loud waves. Like, it was so gross. That was after the crying, luckily, but she did sneak up on me. But so I had this, so God just gave me this scripture, and he just, you know, he's like, you're going to repent, and I have great things. And I just spent an hour of repenting and cleansing. And then we went to the conference that night, and it was talking about identity and getting rid of these things and the words they spoke. And I was like, Lord, you're doing that. Oh, my gosh. And it was amazing. And then now I'm at the conference. We're at the conference. And that first night, I just want to share, it's kind of a cute story, but a fun, amazing story. We were having worship. All this nastiness is being broken. I realized that I had this nastiness that I needed to give to God. And we're worshiping. I don't know what we were singing. It's normal worship. It's not super loud because you just have a singer and a keyboard, you know. And all of a sudden, just this joy of being chosen, and it came over me. And I was like giggling, Cheshire cat grin. I'm like, oh my gosh. I was like, and it was so amazing. Because I'll be honest, there's times I'm like, funny Holy Spirit people laughing. I'm just being honest. When you see those manifestations, and this was the first time that had happened. And I was just so happy. Okay. That was a cell phone sound. Great. I wasn't howling. I was just laughing. I was laughing. So that was just the beginning cleansing. And it was really amazing to just come to this point before the actual, like, at the conference to start, to God to just release so much and to be so happy to be chosen and to be his daughter. And I'm still just so happy. Like, I'm not smiling like I was then, but it was big smile and the giggles and so happy. So then I'm going to tell you about the conference. So the conference itself, what I took away after that was to fight. To fight for my faith, to fight for my walk. There are a few quotes that they had and a few things they said. Because through the past, I realized that I had let go of my faith in God. Like, I still believed he was good, he was great. But I've been kind of apathetic for about 4 years. And apathetic, I mean, I was like, I could spend time in the Word today, and I did every now and then, but I'd had about 4 or 5 years ago a time where I was in the Word for 3 months straight, reading through Romans, and it was incredible. It was amazing. And then God was speaking all these words, but then other things didn't change. These are things God showed me when I was there. I didn't even realize it. And I was kind of like, I don't want to keep doing this, God. It's great that I feel really good, but these situations aren't changing. And so I realized that I'd given up on God, and I didn't even know it. I just thought, we're good, we're happy, we have a great church. Every now and then I have Bible study. I know he loves me, but the promises he had gave me, I don't want to think about them, because if they don't happen, I'm going to be heartbroken, and I hate being heartbroken. So God really showed me that, you know, that, and then things happen, and then I get pockets of emptiness, and then sin comes in. He was showing me the strongholds and the roots that were for that sin, that reason I had. That was the other thing someone spoke about, like, you take those strongholds, you know, and you get rid of them. You ask God to get rid of them. And I'd actually prayed that Thursday before we even came. I didn't know what it was. I'm like, I asked for repentance, but I said, God, painfully dig up whatever the roots are. And he did. Because I'm like, I need them to come out. I don't want this to grow back. I don't want to return to this. And so that's really my takeaway. So I don't want to return to this. I want fire to come. And I want it to stay. I don't want it to be for a season. I don't want just for a season to feel like I'm walking with the Lord. I want to always walk with him. I want it to get harder and harder. Yeah. I want my family to struggle. And I want us to serve God whatever way that is. So one of the speakers said, I was created to be victorious and not mediocre. Amen. I was sick of being shallow. Being his beloved constitutes the core of who we are, like especially as women. If we're not really acting in that Cheshire Cat smile and feeling that, like with him alone, if we're like, I'm a mom, I'm this, we're not going to grow. I was reminded Satan's going to keep going after my weakness. And that's what he did. I had 3 months of incredible joy and amazingness, but Satan didn't quit. I quit. Yeah. I stopped having weapons. I stopped fighting. And I gave him room to move in and whisper doubts, and I listened. So quitting is not an option for believers. I was reminded that I and we are created for battle. Like, if you are following the Lord, there is battle. But we have to have a battle plan, and that's where I started quitting. I'm like, I don't need a battle plan because, you know, we don't see our, you know, God had given us a vision for our family before we had kids, and it hasn't been fulfilled yet. And that's one of the areas that I just quit. I was like, God called us to this, but I don't want to think about it because it hurts that it's not the way I saw it. I'm almost done. We were really challenged, like she said, to ask God for the truth. And when you don't feel like something is true, tell God, be honest, and keep fighting for the truth. Keep asking the Holy Spirit to work. Don't stop like I did because he didn't answer. Like, amen. How long did Sarah wait for a baby? Yeah. I'm like, I don't want Ishmael's. You know, I want Isaac's. I want to rise up. Yeah. And so you have to keep asking and fighting. And God showed me that I did it, and I need to get back there. So I'm not going to talk about that. And then the other big thing was, so then it came to the question at the end, I want to keep fighting, but do I really want to keep fighting? It was Marian Johnson again, whose middle name is Alicia, by the way. there was a little, I really enjoyed Marian. I enjoyed everyone, but Marian Johnson, just God used her incredibly. So I'm here, I want to fight, but then truly you're like, do I really want to fight? Like, I know I want to fight, but do I really want to fight, Lord? Do I want to give what it takes? Do I want to give up reading a fiction book at night because it helps me forget everything? Do I want to give up, you know, my time alone? Like, they talked a lot about rest. And to be honest, I'm really good at resting. I love resting. I'm not resting in his presence. And that's the thing. Like, I'm really good at not worrying about stuff. Those struggles don't bother me. I could take a nap during the day, leave my dishes for a week. But there's a different kind of rest in his presence. Like, physical rest does not matter if your spirit hasn't rested in his presence. So God talked to me about fighting. to go for victory with my whole heart and to deal with the long-suffering battle. I'm just going to read some scripture real quick, and then I'm done. So these are just a few verses from Isaiah 61. And really, Isaiah 61 is arise and shine. And so God this morning was like, arise and shine. So the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has appointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. God's going to rebuild my city. Like, it's not gone. It's coming back, and it's going to be higher and stronger. But you shall be called the priest of the Lord. They shall speak of you as the ministers of God. Instead of your shame, there shall be a double portion. And so that's what I'm trusting, that God, like, the things I've dealt with, they're being dealt with. I'm not hiding them. And it doesn't mean things are going to be perfect from now, but when it starts to come up, I'm going to start weeding, and I'm going to fight. I'm not going to not fight anymore. I'm going to ask. I'm going to say, Holy Spirit, speak truth. Break me. Dig it up. Throw it all out. So
yeah, hallelujah.
That's what I got. Thank you.
Okay, so when we were driving home, we were talking about having to get up here and talk about what we experienced at the conference, and I'm super nervous right now. But I remember there was a girl that was at the conference that said, God makes us do things that are uncomfortable. And I also learned that we're not supposed to dam up our river, and we're supposed to let it flow. So I'm just going to tell you a little bit about what I learned, a few things. The first day that we were there, we talked about, or the first day of the conference, the subject was identity. And I didn't really realize how much I struggled with my identity. But I'm just going to read this. So when we first got there, I felt the Lord just tell me that I'm supposed to see myself through His eyes. And that's not something that I have thought about before. I struggle with my insecurities. And it says, you are royalty, be mine. I will fight for you. He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Live and reign in victory. See me through His eyes. We're not princesses. We are the daughters of a king. He's our daddy. Don't tell yourself things that God doesn't say about you. And as you guys know, the theme was Wonder Woman. And so one thing that someone said there that I thought was really clever is that I'm just wondering what God is going to do with me, with us, next. Amen.
Yes, there's so many things. And I just mainly, I'm really determined to let what God started in me, you know, keep going on. And something I've been working on in my own life for a while is just, I have a sign in my house that says, be present. Because I have this list always going, and I have a phone, and I can just easily, I'm just trying to be really aware of how I'm being robbed through my list, and my list can even rule me. You know, it just, I get up and I think, I gotta do this list. And so I'm just trying to really notice that about myself and slow down and realize if I'm sitting in my room with my, or in a room with my kids and I'm on my phone, you know, I'll look up and see, like, what am I missing right here? Because I'm not in this room, I'm on my phone. Or I'm trying to get my list done, and my husband will say, hey, can I get on your list? Or, hey, can you put your list down and just sit here for a minute? And so I'm really trying to work on that. So one of the ladies was talking about Psalm 23, and, you know, it's like, Lord, you're my shepherd, and I lack nothing. So I'm just trying to, like, take this into my own prayer life, because I'll sit down with the Lord, and my mind will be so full and so busy, and it'll take me a long time just to get there. And so I just want to learn to rest and know that I lack nothing. And then he says, I'll make you lie down. You know, so it's like sometimes he needs to make me, here, give me your list, and give me your phone. I want you to lay down and just get in my presence, and then I'm going to lead you. And so I'm just getting started in that, Psalm 23, and, you know, setting down a plate for me before my, in the presence of my enemies, you know, just the whole verse, I just want to eat it up and live it. And then also what you were saying, yeah, you were saying that, that Marian was talking about, and these ladies were so vulnerable and exposed with us and just sharing their true life. So it was so easy to just get on board with what they're doing because they're speaking our language, you know. But just trusting, when you say, I trust you, Lord, with all my heart, and, you know, do you really? You know, I trust you, Lord, with all my heart, but except for these 10 areas, you know. And so she was just saying, when you do that, don't just, when you're going to take your thoughts captive and line them up, don't just do that and skip over the part that you don't believe or that you're not trusting. She said, go to those places and deal with those things and ask God to show you those things. So, anyway.
And go to the middle. I'd rather be on a chair down here just talking to you guys. This is a lot. There are so many things. If you've ever been to a conference, there's so many things that happen and you could talk about. We are encouraged to get naked. Get naked. That was, get naked. Stop trying to hide your stuff. God sees it anyway, so what do you think you're doing?
Yeah.
You know? Stop pretending. We're supposed to listen and obey. Don't be afraid to fail, because God is never upset with you as long as you're trying. You can fall 7 times, but you get up and you keep going. And God does not want us to give ourselves sloppy grace where we can excuse our actions, our deeds, even our feelings and our attitudes. Well, I'm just human. I'm human, I guess that's how it goes. No, you know, if we're a Christian, we're not. Where's your super suit? Where is your super suit? If you're a Christian, why do you need it? I need it. It's for the greater good, right? The Incredibles. You can't just give yourself your sloppy little grace to say, it's okay that I'm snarky or nasty or offended. Amen. Or whatever, because I'm human and it happens, or I'm feeling bad for myself.
Amen.
It's like, no, that is not what God gave you. That is not your super suit. We're clothed in Christ, and he is our super suit.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's just one of them.
Yeah.
It's like she said, we need to go through spiritual boot camp. Right, Nikki? Boot camp will break you and get rid of all that stuff that isn't going to help you. It's going to get all that stuff out. We need to take ourselves through spiritual boot camp. But I didn't. I'm sorry. I'm going to take a lot of time, I think. Okay. I didn't really take time to prepare like I probably should have. So Norma gave us bags with verses and a little notebook. So we got to Michigan, we ate, we saw the beach, we got our bedroom assignments or couch assignments, and I thought, okay. Can't just go blasé into this because it's like my millionth conference or whatever. Like, I know God's going to be there. I'll just, you know, he'll just show up. And he does because he's good. But I took that notebook out and then I decided to write down what I wanted. And I should have brought it because I was going to expose it all to you. I wanted, oh no, I'm going to cry. I want my joy back. I want my spiritual dreams back. I want my gifts back. I want wisdom. I want discernment. I don't want to be afraid. I don't want to live in mourning and grief forever. And so the first night, we started worshiping. And I tell you what, those songs, there was a word or a phrase in every single song in the very first night that hit everything on my list. And God, when God comes, he just hits you, but not hard. You just feel like, I'm gonna melt with the weight of his goodness, not of his judgment or his scolding you for being weak. And so I had to text my husband and say, where's the story of the woman who sat mourning for her dead sons? So he said, Naomi. I said, no, I know who Naomi is. Not that one. Look again. I'm going to pull it up. It's 2 Samuel 21. And because I, all of a sudden it came to my mind, and I thought, okay, this is the Lord. And this woman, her name was Rizpah. She had been one of Saul's concubines and had some sons. Now, Saul wasn't super awesome at the end, okay, so he made some mistakes, and there's other parts of the story, but the part was that this woman's sons were killed. And she left her home. It says, let's see, these sons were executed on this mountain at the beginning of harvest. Then Rizpah, the mother of these two men, took and spread her burlap, piece of burlap cloth, on a rock and stayed there the entire harvest season. And she sat there and prevented the scavenger birds from tearing at her sons' bodies and kept the wild animals from eating them at night. And you're thinking, what are you talking about? That's weird. But see, my father passed away unexpectedly. And then my mother passed away 10 months later. And when my dad died, everything just stopped. Everything stopped, my dreams, my visions, my faith sort of stopped. And I was scared. And I thought, oh gosh, what's going on? I believe in God, but right now I don't have any faith at all. And I felt numb and in shock, and I suppose traumatized, I suppose. And it's been 3 years. And I'm trying to work myself out. I'm like, gosh, I don't want to stay here. What's going on? Why can't I do this? Why aren't these things happening? Where are my dreams? Where are my words? Where is everything that I had? And God's like, you are sitting up there on your raggedy old blanket of mourning. And you're trying to keep what you had and keep those scavengers from coming away. You're in denial that this happened. And you're unable to move. You won't move. And you're stuck and you're missing the harvest. And I don't want to miss the harvest. And moving on doesn't mean that I didn't love them. But I let myself in that trauma get stuck. And in my own power, tried to keep the things from coming, the vultures. And later in the story, David found out that she was doing this. And he came up and he gathered the bones and he buried them in a royal tomb. And he's like, what he's doing is saying, that's enough. You've sat here way too long. We're done. You need to move on now. And the king is telling me that I need to move on because I'm missing the harvest. And I don't want that. I don't think any of you do. And the thing that you're sitting on and mourning could be a loss of your dreams or your hopes for yourself, for your children. And there is a time to grieve and there is a time to mourn. But it only lasts for a little bit, right? Because joy comes in the morning. And I wanted prayer, but there was a line, and I didn't want to make people wait because we were behind schedule. And so, you know what? I could have waited for that big pastor's wife, the speaker that we were looking at, to pray for me because, gosh, she must have more pull with God. And I thought, that's stupid. That's a ridiculous thought. So I turned around and I asked Nicole and Norma and Alicia to pray for me. And they put their hands on me and they prayed for me. And we cried. And you can know the verse that says, he gives you beauty for ashes and joy for your mourning. And you can know it all day long since you were 6 years old. But until you go there and God says, okay, now is the time. We're going to get off this rock. You're going to get rid of that raggedy old blanket. We're done. We're doing this. Then that becomes really real because the Holy Spirit's involved and you yourself aren't trying to go, I got it. I know it. Let's just go. Because you didn't really deal with it. Yeah, God, I know you know about this and I know about this. But what I was doing was trying to pretend that I had it all good. It's fine, it's good, God's good, yay. And I wasn't wearing my super suit, so I couldn't fight. So, yeah, that was a big thing right away. And something else, talked about warrior women, listed a bunch of them, and one of them was Hannah. Hannah was a warrior woman. She was up there. She was praying. She was fighting for the promise that God gave her for her son. Now, some of you know my son has some difficulties, and it's been hard. But God gave me a promise. He said, I will bring the breakthrough in your son. And I keep going, okay, great. Let's make this happen. Let's do this. Let's do this. Let's do this. And then I get tired, and then I get burned out, and I have to go back, and I felt bad going, God, you said you were going to bring a breakthrough. Where is it? And I felt bad for yelling at God. Like, oh, who am I? But some of these ladies were like, you can do that. It is okay. You remind God of your promises to you, and be like a Hannah. You go and you pray and you look like a fool, look like you lost your mind, and you keep praying for that promise. So if God's given you a promise, you keep after it. Amen. Doesn't matter if you look like a fool, even to a leader in the church or something, you know. Look like a fool and believe it. Amen. And if you say with your mouth you believe God is good, but then you go somewhere else and your actions or your other words say something different, it's not meshing, it's not going to line up, and things aren't going to go well for you. They're not going to work. So you need to really get your words that you say to God and your actual words in your human yuck, they need to come together. Yeah. If you want to be effective and actually be able to make a difference here in the physical realm and also in the spiritual.
That was powerful, thanks. I just want to read through some notes that I gleaned from my notebook, just some of the sayings. Being God's beloved is the core truth of our existence. It's like we really have to get that in our hearts, that I am not what I do, I am who God says I am, period. And believing God's love for me is my greatest and most profound act of obedience. I can do a lot of busy work and not walk in the truth that God loves me, you know, and it really equates, it's performance. It's trying to earn God's love. But God wants us to truly believe that we're loved. And the thing is, we might sin, we might fail, we might disappoint people, but God forgives us. God forgives us, and he welcomes us back all the time. His grace is sufficient. We're not, you know, we're not excusing ourselves. We just go to God, repent, and get back close to his heart again. So don't let sin separate you from God. He's already paid for it. Confess it, repent, get close to God. Discipline yourself to engage with the Lord, not just read the Bible or listen to podcasts or watch, you know, YouTube videos, but actually it's like you may be listening to a lot of the Word, but until you read the Word and get the Word in you, it isn't really formed in you personally, and you want that in your heart so that it can overflow to others. So there's an encouragement to really read the Word, and they didn't ever really say that they were addressing spiritual laziness, but that was kind of a theme, wasn't it? You know, that it's like you have to fight. It's like someone said it like, you know, you're born again, it's like, welcome to the family of God, but this one leader says, welcome to the war. It's like, if you don't know it, you're in a war, and the devil wants to take you out. He wants to convince you that you are worthless, not loved, that people are against you, you know, yada, 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 whatever will make you inactive and take you out of being used by God. That's what the enemy will want to, you know, put on you. And so we want to acknowledge that, yes, we are in a war, and I'm not going to be lazy. I'm not going to be passive. I'm going to take responsibility, and I'm going to rise up and discipline myself to be in the Word and, you know, walk with the Lord. Self-rejection is our souls seeking significance apart from the help of God. There's never an excuse for self-rejection. It is an affront to God, who has spoken his love over us, so we should never, never reject ourselves. And then one of the speakers said, it's a good fight. Fight the good fight. It's a good fight and a worthy fight. It's worth fighting. There's reward at the end. It's hard sometimes, but we have brothers and sisters, but we need to fight the good fight. Others are affected. Others around us, we may think that it's, you know, when we give up and it's like, I'm just too tired to do that. Or, you know, I'm just too tired to walk with the Lord. I'm just too tired, you know. Just, you kind of get passive in your faith. And they reminded us that it isn't just you. You think it's just you getting passive, but there's so many people around you that are watching you and that are affected by you. So if you choose to just give up, you know, well, I'm just gonna not do that anymore or whatever. If you give up, people around you give up too. It's like you can either inspire and spur people on to faith and good deeds, or you can do the opposite. So it's just an encouragement to take responsibility and rise up. And Penny Toosey said, you know, when it's great to go to a conference like this, but when you're talking about change, we can say all these things, but she said, unless you decide a concrete thing that you're going to do differently, you'll like have like happy feelings for about 3 weeks, and then the conference glow will just wear off and you'll go back to normal life. And so she encouraged us all, but I want to share this with you. When you want to make a change in your life, it's like, well, what are you going to change? What does that look like? How is it going to be different? What's that thing that's going to change? Maybe you're going to, you know, well, I'm going to get up 15 minutes earlier or whatever. So just whatever, decide what that change will be. Marian Johnson, she said, obedience brings the blessing and the breakthrough. And when she said that, it was her daughters, she was speaking, but her daughters were, she has four daughters that came to the conference with her, and they were sitting around a table, and when she started to say that, they all said it at the same time. So that was a saying in their home, obedience brings the blessing and the breakthrough. God wants us simply to obey him. And our first act of obedience, is to truly believe that he loves us. And then beyond that, just, you know, if he's saying, go buy so-and-so a cup of coffee or whatever that thing is, obey him. Truth must become truth in your heart, not just words. You know, when you say you trust God, do you really trust God? As, I don't know, one of those ladies said that. If you could say, God, I know that's supposed to be true, but I don't feel that it's true in my life, you just admit that to God and then say, God, take me on that journey to make that place true in my heart so that I truly trust you and am not just saying what I'm supposed to be saying as a good Christian. Yeah, I trust you, I trust you, I trust you. But God, make it real in my heart. So, everything else was kind of shared by these guys. You know, let's keep our eyes on the eternal, not on our problems. You know, the eternal doesn't change, and there's a good reward at the end of the fight.
Well, we, as a church, had a garage sale, and you guys all donated things, and we're a community church, and when one part of the body suffers, the whole body suffers. When one part of the body rejoices, the whole body rejoices. And I just really heard the Holy Spirit speaking through you all, and it's wonderful that you can share this and we can glean from you both your testimonies now and as we have conversation in the days ahead to keep sharing these things, because that's how God strengthens the body. It's not just the biceps that get the workout. It's every part of the body that has to prepare the bicep to get that workout. And so I just want to pray for God to speak to us all. Let's just close in prayer, stand up. Thank you, Lord. And I also was struggling with, I don't think I'm supposed to preach this week on the second chapter of 1 Thessalonians, because I just felt like you are going to bring the message, and you did. So way to go. We'll have time. So, Father, hey, no clapping. No clapping that I'm not preaching this week. So we got some root beer flows to get to. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the ladies that were able to go. We thank you that we can glean and benefit from their going and paying the price and making the trip happen. Sleeping on couches or in whatever fashion, Lord, we just thank you that you are working through the whole church, your whole body, to bring about your purposes, your kingdom, your will, Lord. And we just pray that you would help us grow, that you would cause the increase in our whole congregation because of these conferences, these times of devoted pressing into you. Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. And Lord, thank you for the network of related pastors and the connection that we have to other healthy, wonderful people who love you and want you to be known. Lord, bless this this day. We just commit it to you. Bless our fellowship afterwards, and we thank you for your love. If you need prayer for anything, there's always someone up here that will be willing to, and available to pray with you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.